Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings are not just for the young. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to New Beginnings Ministry. I am Suzanne, and my husband is John, and we're the founders of New Beginnings Ministry. You'll find us here online every Wednesday evening. You can call us live. The number to call in is 347-237-4054. Or you can check us out online and listen that way. You can participate by sending us messages through the chat. And we also invite you to listen to previous messages in our archived library, along with checking us out on Facebook. So, again, welcome to New Beginnings Ministry. This evening, I will be speaking and, facilitating our discussion, because I'd like all of us to please chime in. If you'd like to be part of the discussion, if you press 1, I'll be sure to open up the line so that you can join the discussion live. If you choose to just sit back and listen, you're welcome to do that as well. But I do encourage you to be a participant here. The Lord impressed upon me, our original topic was on health, but the Lord impressed upon me to use my devotional, Jesus Calling. So I hope that it ministers to whoever it is to minister to as we go through this scripture, go through the reading for today and the scriptures that are listed as well. And maybe it's just for me, but I believe the Lord would have me share that this evening so that others can hear and be a part of the discussion. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your name, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, the unique opportunity to come together online, in real time, over the phone. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for how you've moved us as Christians, Father God, with technology, dear Lord, and how fantastic it is that the word is reaching all parts of the earth, to the farthest parts of the earth. I praise you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Father God, that tonight as we begin to search the word, Father God, that you would speak to us, dear Lord, and use us, Father God. Use us to minister to others, those here in real time, Father God, and those in the future that will listen through the archive message, dear Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you would direct this entire conversation. Holy Spirit, have your way here this evening. Have your way. We praise you. We thank you. We do all these things in Jesus' sweet and holy name. And if we could all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. The reading for today, July 29th, 2015, from Jesus is Calling. This is a devotional, 365-day devotional by Sarah Young. And the full title is Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. And what the devotional does, it gives you the perspective, or from Jesus' perspective, that he's speaking to you and calling you to draw closer and closer to him. And why? It's a book about love, about how the Lord loves us and how he desires a relationship with us. And before I read it, I want to say this. As I was driving today, I'd gone out shopping, and I was driving, and my husband had called and asked me if I would do the radio program this evening. And we're supposed to be ready in season and out of season, so I said yes. But I wasn't sure where the Lord was going to take me. And the Lord impressed upon me how we can study the Word, but each time you study the Word, there's always new revelation. There's hidden Word in the Word. And that the more we study, you realize the less that you know.
Amen.
You know? the things that you may have been sure about, the Lord opens up another nugget and shows you a little bit more. And I love that the closer we draw to Him, the closer we draw to Jesus and walk with Jesus, that the more we learn, the more we learn about ourselves, but most importantly, the more we learn about living a Christ-like life, and the more we learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read the reading for today. July 29th. Come to me continually. I am meant to be the center of your consciousness, the anchor of your soul. Your mind will wander from me, but the question is how far you allow it to wander. An anchor on a short rope lets a boat drift only slightly before the taut line tugs the boat back toward the center. Similarly, as you drift away from me, my spirit within you gives a tug, prompting you to return to me. As you become increasingly attuned to my presence, the length of rope on your soul's anchor is shortened. You wander only a short distance before feeling that inner tug, telling you to return to your true center in me. I guess that one of the things I was thinking about just before reading it, as I was spending time with the Lord on my drive, and then reading this passage, was that even if you're studying the Word, even if you consider yourself a Bible scholar, a student of the Bible, attending church every week, if you don't spend time with Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and develop your relationship with Him, it can be easy. We can easily get off course. Jesus has to be our anchor. And our anchor pulls us back and keeps us centered and keeps us from drifting too far away. I think about different, what we would call cults now, people who started off in speaking Christian truth, who easily get detoured and steered off track. And it can happen to all of us. One of the things that I want for our ministry with New Beginnings is for us to be authentic and for us to be honest and true to biblical standards, true to the things of God, and true to being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to a group, and we hear it a lot, where we say higher power. I don't want there to be any confusion about who my higher power is. My higher power is Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I don't want to, people will use the term higher power to mean all sorts of things. I don't know what's going on in your mind, but I needed to be clear that if you are calling in and you're participating in Bible study with New Beginnings Ministry, that this is a Christian Bible study. Christian, not meaning that we're nice people, you know, or we're Christians because we're not Jews or because we're not Muslims. I'm saying that this is a Christian organization because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we believe that He suffered and died for us. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe that He is coming again, and we celebrate that. So I'm going to open up a few of the mics. And if anyone wants to say anything thus far, you're welcome to. Any comments from 631?
I just like all that you said already about Jesus Christ being our anchor. because we do in these days and time, we do need that anchor, that weight, so we can't stray too far. Yes, amen, amen.
Right. And it's easy to stray far.
It really is.
And we hear so much now, especially on television and whatever, and during these times, as you were saying, that there are a lot of people that are going to be fooled. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, too, that they'll look like, they'll say they're Christian. They'll look like, you know, they're doing Christian. They may have some of the traditions. They may even sing some of the same songs. But if you're not talking about, if they're not talking about the blood of Jesus, people avoid the blood.
Yeah.
You know, avoid the stuff in the blood. If we're not talking about the power in the name of Jesus Christ, if I'm more concerned about being politically correct than a follower of Jesus Christ, then you may think about a different organization to affiliate you. In the end, I want to be on Team Jesus.
Like you said, be authentic, you know, like what you were saying, yes.
Right, because it's not about how many people you have in your church, you know. Because a lot of folks in church are not going to heaven.
Amen.
About what bumper stickers you have on your car or the cross around your neck. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not even how much you put into the plate on Sunday when it goes by.
Amen.
Or that everybody knows that you're the biggest tither in church or whatever. It's not about that. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and understanding that we have to make sure that we're not fooled, and we have to ask the Lord to search our hearts daily, multiple times during the day, to search my heart if there is anything hidden that needs to be exposed. Mm-hmm. Please expose any sense of omission or commission. Lord, help me. Help me to walk upright.
Amen.
Praise. Norman, did you want to say something?
Yeah, also, as we move through our life, we have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do?
Amen.
And how are you treating your brothers? Christ, you know, the demonstration of faith, Christ we never actually physically laid hands on. We have a relationship develop a relationship with God and Jesus. But what would Jesus do? You see a homeless person, a person starving, and some of them will turn our heads and walk away. Then there's others who would, this is a person you can actually touch, and you can actually see. But Jesus, we know in his spirit and in heart, and we say we love him. But anyway, that person on the street, we have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And it's the fruit we bear. The Bible is written from an agricultural standpoint. What you reap, you sow. Piece of livestock, wheat, everything is from fish. Everything is from an agricultural standpoint. But for the people that it was, written for, so that they would really understand it. But even today, we work in the industry, teachers, social workers, a variety of different fields. But we have to keep in mind the central theme of the Bible, and that's Christianity, it's love. And it's important how you treat people.
Amen.
And what kind of fruit are we bearing? Because we're also, as we travel, we're spreading the gospel, not by just what we say, but also by our actions.
Amen.
So anyway, a lot of people are professing Christians, but they're actually false prophets because their actions are not congruent with their behavior, with their words.
Amen. Our first scripture for this evening is, thank you so much. Did you want to add something?
No, I was just going to say, as long as we, like you said before, we spend time with Christ, we will have that Christ attribute and characteristic. so that when we do walk into a room, they'll see that there's something different about us. We're not like mm-hmm. everyone else. The Bible said we're supposed to be a peculiar people, you know,
mm-hmm.
a royal priesthood. We're supposed to have the mark, not the 666, mm-hmm. but the mark of the cross.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Scripture.
That's right. Our first scripture comes from Hebrews 6:19. That's Hebrews 6:19. And it reads, "The certain hope of being saved is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our soul, connecting us with God Himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven, where Christ has gone ahead to plead for us from His position as our high priest with the honor and rank of Melchizedek." So what we want to talk about is the promise. And I'm going to go back, because we have to read things in context. I'm going to go back to Hebrews 6, verse 9. "Dear friends, even though I am talking like this, I really don't believe that what I am saying applies to you. I am confident you are producing the good fruit that comes along with your salvation. For God is not unfair. How can He forget your hard work for Him, or forget the way you used to show your love for Him and still do, by helping His children? And we are anxious that you keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, so that you will get your full reward. Then, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent, but you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience." Praise God. I just got
Amen.
Killed. Because,
yes.
of our, because of our faith. So the Lord is telling us that He knows it's not all of us. It's not all of us that are weak, or that are appear dull, who aren't following the word, who are calling themselves Christians, going through the motions but doing nothing and not producing fruit. That most
yes.
of us are producing fruit. Those of us who are producing fruit are to continue to produce fruit. Don't get weary in our well-doing. Continue to do it. Continue to speak the word. Continue to reach out to folks. Continue to speak to our brothers and sisters who need encouraging, who need
Amen.
To be brought back. Continue to encourage them. Be strong in your faith and be patient with them, and be patient as we wait on the Lord. But don't lose hope. Do not lose hope. Don't lose sight of who we serve. Don't lose sight of whose we are, who we belong
Amen.
To. Don't lose sight of those things. We're
mm-hmm.
supposed to love each other. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, "For instance, there was God's promise to Abraham. God took an oath in His own name, since there is no one greater to swear by, that He would bless Abraham again and again and give him a son and make him the father of a great nation of people. Then Abraham waited patiently until finally God gave him a son, Isaac, just as He had promised." The Lord has made promises to us, and we're under that Abrahamic covenant also.
Amen.
That we are part of the nation, and that we are mighty people. Like the song the kids sing, "Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, or you are one of them, and so am I." And we
mm-hmm.
go marching on. We go marching on. We're supposed to be excited about that, and excited, and the Lord, and we remind the Lord, "You blessed Abraham. You kept your promise to Abraham. God is a promise keeper. He does not break oath. An oath is part of that blood covenant. It comes from
an oath is broken, death has to ensue. God does not break his oath. Like the word said, there's no one greater than him, so he gives an oath on his own name, using his own name, that he will carry it through. A promise is a promise is a promise, and God is a promise, for he will not go back on his word. Verse 16 says, when a man takes an oath, he is calling upon someone greater than himself to force him to do what he has promised, or to punish him if he later refuses to do it. The oath ends all the argument about it. God also bound himself with an oath so that those he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. He does not change. He's a promise keeper. He doesn't change his mind. We can go back in the Old Testament. You can go back in your own life and look at the promises that God has kept to you. Read the resume. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
Promises. Mm-hmm. He has given us both his promise and his oath, two things we can completely count on, for it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Now all those who flee to him to save them can take new courage when they hear such assurances from God. Now they can know without doubt that he will give them the salvation he has promised. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. Not insurance, assurance. No doubt about it.
That's
no
good.
No doubt about mm-hmm. it. No doubt about it. The insurance company Nationwide and Progressive and all of them will drop you if you call on them too many times. But you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he assures you that he will be there. Complete assurance that you are saved. Assures you that he will keep every promise that he has made to you. Assures you that his oaths are real and will be kept. Amen.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Verse 19, this certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for your soul, connecting us with God himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven. If you're saved, hold on to your salvation. Hold on to Jesus Christ, our anchor. Don't let him go, regardless of what the enemy says. Because, see, once you get saved, the enemy will come in, and he's not going to be in your face with it. He's going to be sneaky and smooth and slick.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He's going to tease you and tempt you to believe that you haven't changed. You're not saved. You look the same. You act the same. You have the same urges, same desires. Look at you. Everybody knows that you faking it. You know, the enemy will come in and tease you and taunt you. Hold on to your anchor. Hold on to your anchor. He'll come around a different way and put people in your face. Put people in your face that'll tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. Put people in your face that remind you of who you were and what you used to do and how you used to be.
Yeah.
Don't fall. Hold on to your anchor. Jesus Christ is our anchor, and regardless of what the enemy says, you are no longer that person. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been adopted into the fellowship, adopted into the family of Christ. You have been engrafted. Your bloodline has changed. Your bloodline has changed. You're under the blood of Jesus. Your blood flows from the head, and the head is Jesus Christ.
So what is in him is in me now.
What is in him is in me. I am different. I am not the same. Jesus is my anchor. Jesus is the head of this household. Jesus is the head of our family. He is our king. He's our salvation. He's our all in all. He's the beginning and the end. He seals the deal. He seals the deal. The promises that have been made will be kept in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
This is a good word. Thank
any
you,
word, any comments?
Wow, this is a good
any
word.
Comments? 216, this... any comments? 216. Sometimes
Hello?
We lose.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to just really just chime in terms of he being our anchor. And it's just so easy to get lost. You know, it's mm-hmm. almost like being out in the world and really not knowing what direction you're going. And oftentimes, you know, we get so busy and we get caught up, you know, mm-hmm. in the world, and we forget about God. And God always has someone who is going to share a word with you. He always has, you know, a ram in the bush, someone who's going to pull you back on track and remind you that you're too far out in the forest, you know, because God does not want us to get lost. He does not Amen. Want us to get lost. And that's what happens with most of us. We, and I'm talking about myself as well, Amen. We get lost. We it's almost like walking, and we lose track of what God has said, and we go off track venturing here and venturing there, and before you know it, we're caught up in something else and don't know how to get back. You know, so I like that word, you know, or that, you know, that analogy of being the anchor. You know, God is our anchor. You know, he's not going to let us get too far out. You know, and that goes for those who are listening, you know, as a reminder. You know, God is not going to let you get too far out. So don't think that that God doesn't love you. Don't think that you're out there and that you are not good enough to come and fellowship with those who go to church on a regular basis. But God loves us all just the same.
Amen.
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 And I like what, and excuse me, I also like what you said about God being bound to his oath. You know, the promises that he gives us. And I was in prayer today with my prayer partners. They're different places. And we were in conference, and we were praying. And one of the pastors said to me, Sister Edna, you hold on, you know, because the devil always comes to, you know, whisper in your ear. And what you're saying, Pastor Sue, is a confirmation that no matter what you're going through, stand. Just listen to remember God's promises. What she told me was, don't get intimidated when the enemy comes and whispers in your ear. Just remember the promise. Don't get intimidated when he comes and he whispers, oh, it's not going to happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it will happen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Excuse me. So this is just a confirmation for me as well.
You praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that's what this
scripture
talks about.
The certainty of God's
promises. See, we can't lose our, can't become impatient.
Yeah.
We can't become impatient. While we're waiting, while we're in a waiting room, we have to remember to keep up the good work.
Yes.
To continue in Christ.
Amen.
Sometimes things that try our patience when we're going through.
Absolutely.
Sometimes he'll put stumbling blocks in there, or the enemy will curse you or cause someone to curse you.
Yes, yes.
You know, but we have to be strong and be in be strong spiritually, where we're prayed up. Be willing to fast and pray, and to go into warfare. And to go into warfare, you know, to rebuke those things that people say.
Yes.
Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And know that the promise is coming. And repeat it. And say it. Because the more you say it and you put it out there, the more life is exposed. And the more that spirit of death and hell from the enemy can be rejected. Because we have to put the enemy where he belongs. Okay, and there's no place, the enemy cannot exist in the presence of praise.
Amen.
No more can God exist where there's life.
Absolutely.
Life.
Amen.
Can you speak up? I couldn't hear, Father Norm, can't hear you. Could you speak up a little louder?
Absolutely.
I said darkness. You cannot have darkness and light in the same proximity, because light will override that, and you will have light. You have a dark facility. Turn a light on, you have a lit room. God is light. Once he's present, darkness has to leave.
Amen.
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 So in this reading, we hear how the Lord blessed Abraham. And Abraham, the Lord always uses
I love the way the Old Testament is a shadow for the New Testament, you know, that it's a reminder. Remember Abraham. Remember what he did for Abraham. Remember David. Remember Joseph. Remember. It's so important that we learn those stories, like even in childhood, and we remember those stories, because if he did it for Abraham, he'll do it for you. If he did it for David, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Mary, he'll do it for you. If he did it for your mother, he'll do it for you. If he did it for your grandmother, he'll do it for you.
Wow.
If he did it for your neighbor, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
The Lord is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
It's equal. Praise God.
Amen.
And you know what? God had to remind me of that very thing, because I was saying, Lord, I'm getting too old. He says, say not that you're too old. He told me, look what I did for Abraham at his age. Say that you're not too old. You're at the right place.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah.
This is just confirmation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just want to add on to that also. And you made a comment about a covenant. You know, a covenant is a binding relationship between two parties.
Yeah.
A binding relationship. Mm-hmm. So when God makes a covenant with us, that means that he has made a promise. As you mentioned before, it is a promise. It is a promise.
Amen.
A promise is a promise. That's a binding relationship between two groups. So it doesn't make a difference who you are. God made a covenant with us, and he wants us. Listen, we have guidelines that we have to follow to not break that covenant.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. We have a guideline, and it's no different than someone makes an agreement with you saying that they're going to pay you back at a certain time, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You've come to an agreement, and you know that you're supposed to get paid on your job at a certain time, and they come and tell you that they can't pay you.
Yeah,
that relationship with you and that and where you were working was that something was supposed to happen at a certain time, and that's just the way God is with us. When he makes that covenant with us, that's a relationship. He's saying that as long as we do this, he will always be with us. He will not, and it's not that he's going to leave us, but we have choices. God gives us a choice to make in life. And we make those choices if they are in alignment with God's covenant, then we can be assured that his promises are going to avail.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you all so much. Let's go to 1 John 2:28 reads, "And now, my little children, stay in happy fellowship with the Lord, so that when he comes, you will be sure that all is well, and will not have to be ashamed and shrink back from meeting him. Since we know that God is always good and does only right, he may rightly assume that all those who do right are his children."
Mm-hmm.
And that's our confidence and hope in Christ. That's our confidence. That's where our confidence should be.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God that we're doing right and that we're not following the Antichrist. That we're doing right, we're reminded of who we are, and we stay in the Word and don't let folks steer you away.
Amen.
Know the truth. This chapter in 1 John is talking about knowing the truth. Don't be fooled by Satan's tricks. Don't be fooled by those people who speak against Christ. People who used to be at the church but have gone on to do something else. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Against Christ, people used to be members of our churches, but they never really belonged with us, or else they would have. When they left us, it proved that they were not of us at all. So
Wow. We
have to be careful and with who we associate with. Then we associate with those people that are speaking the truth and living the truth.
Amen. One thing
that will tell you where you're going to be in 10 years, and I have this in a note on the side of my Bible, that is an indicator of where you'll be in the next 10 years. Your associations, are you associating with Christ-like people, true believers, not just those that appear to be like Christ, but those that love the Lord, who are committed, sold-out believers for Jesus Christ?
That's good.
Do you read the Word? Or what books are you reading? Are you reading Word to increase your spiritual muscles? Are you reading God's Word? Or are you reading something else?
That's good.
And how do you spend with God? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you praising, entering into praise and worship at church and outside of church? How much time are you spending with God? Are you listening, or are you doing all the talking?
Wow, that's good right there.
That'll tell you how far where you can be. That'll tell you where you'll be in 10 years. That'll tell you where you are with the Lord and how easily you can get steered away if you're not doing those things, if you're not with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So it's like good. Spiritual, where you exercise spiritually, you're praying, you're having a relationship with God, you're going to church, which is like a hospital or a gym, where you're getting spiritually stronger. You're eating the correct foods, spiritual foods from the Word of the Bible, and you practice it. And consequently, you build spiritual muscle. And you're able to overcome spiritually the evil, the darkness, because of God and Jesus' presence right with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We have one more scripture.
I was talking earlier, you know, and as you were impressed about that in terms of, you know, the people that you hang with. And I remember reading a scripture and talking to someone today, and it was about, the difference was in terms of wisdom. Wisdom. Would you prefer to have wisdom? And wisdom, according to the Bible, is making right choices according to God. Making right choices according to God. So, we can be foolish or we can be wise. And it says in the Bible that those who are wise, knowledge is going to come from their lips. And those who are foolish, you will not receive any knowledge from them at all. And the Bible says that those who are foolish, that you should not be around, because you're not going to gain knowledge from those who are foolish, because they're talking, they're really talking, and it has no substance at all.
Amen.
None at all. None at all. So when you said that, I was thinking about, you know, the wisdom and being foolish, the difference between the two.
We can't get caught up in the things of the world. You know,
Amen.
We can't make sure that our spirits are tempered, that we have a Christ-like countenance at all times. Because you don't want to be like the scripture we just read. You don't want the Lord to come and you're ashamed to stand before him.
Wow, it's so true.
Something you just did. Or because you haven't been living the life you should be living.
Wow.
God sees and hears. Jesus knows now. It's not about, well, I'll get myself together later. When I was a little kid, my grandpa would say our prayers at night. And, you know, the line, if I should die before I wake, used to really scare the messed out of me. So I was always like, you know, I got to say my prayers because, you know, because I'll die and go to hell. And so no matter what I did all day, I would, you know, Lord, please forgive me for such and such. Mm-hmm. But with a childlike mentality, thinking that he didn't see me, like he's getting his notes at the end of the day, you know. But he knew it immediately. He knew it when I had the thought. You know what I'm saying? So we have to make sure continuously that our hearts and our hearts and our intentions are pure and that they're Christ. God knows. God knows your intentions. He's a heart. And if you're doing things that are not of God, but pretending to be of God, the Lord knows it already. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. The Lord knows the truth. He knows where your heart is. He knows your every thought. He knows your next thought.
Yes.
Your next thought. So praise God. I wanted to read I'm going to just read that one more time. For 28, and it says, "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, you may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." So we have to be sure that our attitudes are right, that we don't have telltale two-faced attitudes, one attitude in front of the folks at church and another attitude around family. You know, one attitude at work and a different attitude, you know, with the people at church. You know what I'm saying? That we become authentic and that is the same across the board. I think of the serenity prayer where God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to accept the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That there's some things that are out of my hand, and those things that are in my hand, the Lord has put them there anyway and will guide me in dealing with them, and I need to have wisdom to follow him no matter what.
Amen.
Our last scripture this evening is Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37 reads, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, and you will find that you are obeying all the others." So all of the mitzvahs, I think it was 613 mitzvahs that were broken down into the Ten Commandments, can be broken down in these two New Testament commandments, the greatest commandments, according to Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That if you do that, you've done it.
Amen.
Now, of course, the Pharisees didn't like that because the Pharisees were legalistic.
Yes.
But Jesus gave them something to think about. Let them know, boldly let them know who he was and what they should think about. That it wasn't about all of the other laws. It wasn't about all of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so busy with the rules that they forgot about God.
And so if we're loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, like you said, we're doing everything. Everything hinges on that. What love has to do with it? Everything. So how we act is should be in love. How we walk should be love.
Amen. Amen.
How we think should be love. Because if we think right, knowing that we love Christ, we won't be in error. We love Christ so much that we won't make him ashamed of our daily walk. Since we're supposed to be ambassadors of him, since we're supposed to show, have our best, put our best foot forward, so to speak, knowing that we're pleasing God. And that's what it's about, pleasing him. And if we love him to please him, then everything else will just fall in.
Amen.
Yes.
Fall into place.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good word.
Amen.
I
would go back to the prior comment I had initially. What would Jesus do? We have to kind of ask ourselves that and then act in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to very simplistic to love God with all your heart and also love your brother as you love yourself.
Amen.
And that's very good what you're saying. What would Jesus do? So before we act, before we even say anything, we should take a pause. And just like you said, well, what would Jesus do? How would he answer this? You know, and before we be anxious for anything or jump the gun, we should just take a moment. Take a moment before we answer or do anything. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying I would like to even go further than that, because before we get to that point, a comment was made earlier in terms of doing all the talking. And when I think about doing all the talking is someone who prays all the time.
Wow.
Someone who prays all the time. That's a one-way relationship. The two-way relationship is when we read the Word of God.
Yes, and
that's
listen.
What the Bible, the Word of God is. We're supposed to read the Word of God because the Bible states that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And if you think about that, you know, as we read the Word, the more we read the Word, the more we begin to start to think like God. And when we think like God, then that's when all that love and what God does and what would Jesus do, all that is activated. Why? Because we're thinking without thinking. It comes natural.
Yes.
So and that's where we fall short is reading the words of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to listen, because when we pray,
and that's another part too. Yes.
Listen and wait and just be quiet in him.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
you don't have to have noise all the time.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. So just being quiet and just listening and waiting for the Lord to lead you, to speak to you, to impress upon your spirit. To say, I love you.
Amen.
It's something about love. Like when you think about how much the Lord loves us, that he sacrificed for us, to really understand what it means to be loving, How can you go through your day with a loving attitude? How do we lovingly speak to our neighbors and our coworkers and the people passing by us? How do you love make an impression on somebody who's cut you off on the highway? You know, you know, there's a way. Your neighbors are watching you every day.
Amen.
I think about my neighbors watching us when John and I left, I think it was Sunday before last, to go to church. When we go out, I always think about who else goes to church, and it's usually just us that are going to church. And I think about, I'm sure they know that, you know, I'm sure they know where we stand. We got a cross sitting in the front yard. and Halloween, the kids don't even bother to come by anymore because I told them they were
Christians.
Like my house. Like Christians do. So I know that they I know they know, but it lets me know that they're watching too. But how can we go a step further to be loving neighbors to them, to mm-hmm. show them the love of Christ? Because just being quiet and staying to yourself isn't enough. That's not going to speak to them. How mm-hmm. do you teach somebody or impress upon somebody, leave an impression so that they're so curious that they want to listen to you, they want to sit at your feet or sit with you and ask questions or go to church with you or share mm-hmm. with you? You know, what do you do? So we need to think about that. Think about in our day-to-day walk, even if you're riding the bus, riding the train, you know, who may sit with you, that's an opportunity for you to witness to someone. My husband really good at that. The kids tease him because, like, even the pizza man knows that John's going to have to order for him. When the pizza man comes, he's got to sit for a while.
That sounds about right.
John Clay's got a word for him. But so I just wanted to throw that in there. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
And as far as Halloween, Sister Sue, when they come to my house, I give them tracts about Halloween. If they do come, I'll give them tracts. Say, praise the Lord, here you go. Read this.
Because I want them to know.
They really need to know.
You know I'm different.
That's one way of spreading the gospel.
Yes.
Spreading the good news. Yes. Put you together.
Yes. Amen.
You know, people don't know how much you care until you show how much you care. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is sometimes we have to come out of our comfort zone and go and visit those who are in the hospital, visit those who are, you know, that are need food for pantries. You know, I'm saying get out of our comfort zone and go the extra mile for Christ and do things for others, not only just for those who we are surrounded by.
Amen.
But I'm talking about going out into the marketplace and meeting people where they are.
Amen.
Because when you do that, then you're showing your love one
mm-hmm.
for another. We can't
mm-hmm.
be selected because if this person looks this way, that we're not going to act accordingly to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to love one another. That's what the word says. We have to love one another. And I understand things are getting crazy here, but you know what? The Spirit is going to let each and every one of us know when we are to share with them.
That's
I mean,
true.
There's times that we have to be watchful now.
Yes.
You know, because God wants us to, you know, not to walk around asleep.
But
He wants
wise.
Us to walk around.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but going out, the blessings come is what we do for others, and that's
yes.
going that extra mile, getting out of your comfort zone and going
mm-hmm.
and visit someone in need.
Amen.
You know, and we get caught up. We get too caught up in the busyness of life. And God wants us to move away from that and begin to start to working and helping others that are in need, that have a greater need than we do. Now, we
mm-hmm.
all need, but a greater need than we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I thank everyone for participating in our discussion this evening, and I hope that it's been a blessing to someone who is listening right now or who will listen later. I truly do. Father
mm-hmm.
God, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the word that's gone forth. And if we've been in error in any way, Father, show where the error is and know that it was not intentional. We thank you, Father God, that you would make all corrections, Father God, and that you would speak to all our listeners, Father God, that through the word that's gone forth, Father God, that they, Father God, too, will come to you, come to know you better, Father God, draw closer to you, and, Father
yes.
God, that they would know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, and we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the direction of this ministry, dear Lord, and give you complete control of this
yes.
ministry and where it goes, Father God, how it grows.
In Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every household that's represented in our circle this evening, Father God, and all those who will listen and all those who have listened and those who wanted to listen, dear Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Bless
Amen.
The household, dear Lord. In Jesus' sweet, sweet holy
Amen.
Name, we pray. We thank
Amen.
You. You're almighty. You're wonderful. And we still
yes.
look forward to this week. Join us again next week.
Sister Suzanne.
Yes.
Sister Suzanne. Before
yes.
you close, we I would love to be able to hear about healthy living. About healthy living. So I just really want you to implant that on you. Talking about healthy living. Thank you.
Amen.
Healthy living.
Look at the